speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Every object of God's creation has special needs of its own. In every case, God has provided a method for satisfying those needs. For example, plants need water, and they need minerals which are contained in the soil. So God created plants with a root system which would penetrate the soil, absorb the needed elements. Now, animals have altogether different needs with regard to the satisfying of their need for nourishment. So God created animals with a special digestive system, and God has provided satisfaction for every need found in His creation. Well, we as human beings have our special needs as well. Some of those needs are very elementary in nature, are easily satisfied. Man needs oxygen, so God created him with lungs and the capacity to automatically draw oxygen into the body, make it usable for the body's needs. And some needs of humans require more efforts on man's part for their satisfaction. For example, man needs water, and he may have to drill a well in order to find that water. He needs food, and in order to have sufficient amounts of food, he may have to plant a garden, cultivate it, harvest it, or earn an income so that he can purchase those things at the market. But there are other needs which human beings have that are peculiar to them, which require special efforts for their satisfaction. I'm thinking of those spiritual needs which cannot be provided by an automatic response of the body or by an entirely different physical effort. These spiritual needs have to do with man's personality, have to do with man's disposition, his relation to other human beings, and certainly his relationship to God. But as in every case, God has provided a source for satisfying those needs. In this case, the source is the home. The home is God's instrument for satisfying the basic needs of the human being. And this afternoon, I'd like to share with you some needs of children which can be properly provided only in the home. And in time permitting, we'll notice later in the week some needs that adults have. That is, husbands have needs, wives have their needs, fathers and mothers have needs, and those needs can be basically satisfied in the home. And bear in mind that the home is God's instrument for providing each of these needs. And just as a failure to have proper food for the body will cause physical malnutrition, failure to supply these needs will result in spiritual malnutrition. The individual will not develop spiritual strength and may even starve himself to death spiritually. Now, in as far as the needs of children are concerned, parents are the primary providers. Someone has suggested that since God is a spirit and cannot be physically present in all places at once, He provided every child with a mother and a father to see that his needs are satisfied. Parents have a tremendous responsibility to their children. Now, number one, as we look at some of the needs of children, children need the security of a stable home life. And you know as well as I do that many children are not receiving that stability. But that need is there. They have the need of a stable home life. Children need to have a firm ground under their feet for proper development. Any parent knows that newborn babies are frightened of falling. And when the baby is frightened by any sudden movement, the best way to calm him is to pick him up, hold him very firmly, very tightly. And this need for security isn't only in infancy, but it lasts a lifetime. Children need the security that comes from the knowledge that mother and father love each other very much. Quarreling between a child's parents is like an earthquake which threatens to take away his firm footing. A child is very sensitive to tension and hostility, making him grow up in an atmosphere that's filled with discord and disunity, and that child is liable to be insecure for the rest of his life. Well, a child also needs to know that he's loved by his parents. And there is no way to know how many scores of children are unwanted. Sometimes we hear of a baby that was abandoned by parents who didn't want him. There's a sense in which this abandoned child is better off than an unwanted child who's kept by his parents and just tolerated but not loved. Or perhaps the mother and father wanted a boy, but a girl was born. In such cases, some parents actually tell everyone how disappointed they are, and then show their disappointment by rejecting the child. The problem may later be complicated by the birth of another child who is a boy. Favoritism will then be obvious, and the spurned child will lose his foundation for living. Children are fragile, and their hearts and their personalities can be easily broken by just carelessness and foolishness on the part of the parents. The security of a stable home life is especially important to teenagers. Their world is one that's changing and with uncertainty. They're being forced to deal with complex and demanding situations that threaten to undermine their confidence in the human race in general. A lot of teenagers who don't have the firm undergirding of a stable home life turn to alcohol and drugs as an escape from reality. But young people can face any problem life has to offer if they can rely on their homes to give them the stability in the midst of such trying times. If they know their parents are on their side, they know that they're loved by their parents, they can make it. But just as surely as you keep your love from each other and from your infant child or your teenage son or daughter, you're going to be sealing their doom. So children need the firmness and the reliability of a stable home life. Number two, and as we look at the needs of children, children need the confidence of their parents. Children want to be trusted, and in most cases, they will be trustworthy if given the chance to prove themselves. Teenagers are especially sensitive to a lack of trust by their parents. Some parents are constantly questioning their children and indicating that they expect the worst from them. If you keep up those suspicious looks and those suspicious questions, your child will probably decide that it isn't worth it. And since he can't win your confidence, will live up to those lesser expectations. You shouldn't make your child try to win your confidence. You should let him or her know that he has your confidence and then will surely live up to it. Let your child know that you trust him, and that child will most likely live up to that trust. Well, number three in needs of children need the companionship of their parents. Not all gifts of money and things in the world can make up for the failure to give oneself. A great many good men and women have failed as parents because they withheld themselves from their children, trying so hard to provide a good living. And some of those extras and the luxuries of life they were trying to provide, but really lost their children. One of the saddest stories of the Bible is of Samuel and his sons. Samuel was a great man of God who did much good for the people of God. But when his sons were grown, they became two of the vilest men in the land. They walked not in Samuel's ways, but they turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted justice. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3. Now, how could such a godly man as Samuel have such evil sons? I believe 1 Samuel 7, 16 tells how Samuel made mistakes. He spent a great part of the year in circuit riding over the territory and serving as a judge, and perhaps became so involved in tending to the problems of everyone else in the territory that he forgot his responsibility to his own family. And I am well aware that preachers are especially in danger in this respect, and also well aware that preachers' kids are jokingly said to be the worst children in the church. The charge is not always without foundation. A preacher may become so involved in the personal problems and the affairs of the local church and its membership that he neglects his own family. His children are therefore left with only one parent, and no matter how good a mother his wife may be, she can't take the place of a father. Of course, a man in any profession may fail in this same situation, but I think preachers in particular are in danger on this point. So parents, don't steal your time away from your children. Your children are more important than the 1,001 other things that are vying for your time. And certainly your children and your home is worth more than that job you have. Take time to be a parent. Children have needs, real needs. And in summary, they need a Christian father, a Christian mother. And the only way a child can have a Christian father or Christian mother is by that father and that mother being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That involves acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, and upon that acknowledgement and knowing that Jesus is the Christ, that they give up their sin, they have a godly sorrow that moves them to repent and turn away from it, that leads them to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that leads them to be buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, that they might have their sins forgiven, and then faithfully living for the Lord, taking their family to worship God. And if one is an erring child of God, he can't be the father or mother that God wants him to be until he repents and confesses his sins and prays God for forgiveness, comes back to him, as taught in 1 John chapter 1. What kind of parent are you? Are your children receiving and having their needs met?